Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, raw feeders. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble. But what friends do is they tune in on Fridays for Free Tip Fridays from Dr. Judy Jasek. Good morning, Dr. Jasek. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. Just, you know, navigating the crazier and crazier world that we live in. Sometimes I just gotta laugh, you know, like, because man, this stuff out there is can be scary and depressing. And sometimes you just gotta find some humor in it.
But what you don't want to do is hide your head in the sand. And what is very concerning to me is how many people say, oh no, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to know about that. And I'm thinking, but would you want to know if that was an oven that you're getting ready to walk into, or a cyanide, you know, gas chamber? Would you want to know that? Maybe you wouldn't if you were forced, but
I think so. I think what people really don't want to do is they don't want to have to take accountability for their own health. And if they know this stuff, then they're like, oh, you know, my health is my responsibility. I can't just blame it on somebody else or just go take the magic shot and everything's going to be good. And I can just eat at McDonald's and fly in airplanes and do anything I want to do. I think people don't want to take accountability. So they'd rather not know. Me, I'd rather know so I can keep myself healthy, because I think that's important.
Yeah, it is important. Wouldn't you want to know if you were taking something that was detrimental to your health? Wouldn't all the people who took Chantix, okay, the drug to help you stop smoking, wouldn't they have liked to have known 15 years ago that it was going to cause cancer? But we're just now finding that out.
Yeah, right. So stop smoking, so you get lung cancer, you get cancer from the drug that helps you stop smoking.
You know, my question is this, Dr. Jasek, do you think they know that something's going to cause cancer before they put it on the market? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I'm being facetious.
They know because it's a money game. There's money in keeping people sick. There's not money in helping people learn how to stay healthy. So when cigarettes start getting a bad rap because it gives people lung cancer, oh, well, people are going to stop smoking. Now, where are all our cancer revenues going to come from? Oh, I know. Let's make a drug, tell people it's going to help them stop smoking, and then it gives them cancer anyway. Exactly what they do. It is that evil. I mean, people think that's crazy. It is that evil out there. It truly is.
Yeah, it is crazy. And, you know, it was funny. I did a podcast with Dr. Todd Cooney yesterday, and I don't know if you've ever listened to Dr. Cooney talk, but he is a very kind, mild-mannered man. He reminds mm-hmm. me of my stepdad. I mean, he really is very kind. And mm-hmm. and he was saying, he said, you know, I would never vaccinate myself. I would never put something in my body like that. I mean, he's mm-hmm. Now he's a homeopath, but still he said, maybe I shouldn't say that, but I'm going to say it. I would never do it. And, he talks about, you know, how the vaccines dysregulate the immune system and in the people and the pets. And this is something that people really don't want to know, really do not want to know, because there is such a narrative. But I just don't think, Dr. Jasek, they have seen the damage that you've seen, that I've seen, that all of the vets have seen, right? Or all doctors have seen. And maybe they don't want to see it, because how often do we hear this response? That negative presentation, or however your dog's presenting for disease, has nothing to do with this shot, has nothing to do with this antibiotic, has nothing to do with it.
all the time. But it has everything to do with raw feeding.
Everything to do with raw feeding. Everything. It's so, it is, come on. That is nonsensical.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's another thing, you know, people don't like getting pushed out of their comfort zones. I get it. It's uncomfortable to get out of your comfort zone. So if for a veterinarian or even a human physician for that matter, to say, to change the way they think about vaccines and say, you know what, maybe these seem to be doing more harm than good. I think there's a problem there. And then you have to change everything about how you practice. And I did that. I went through that because I started practicing conventionally trained. I was a good little, you know, young veterinarian doing things just as I had been taught until I realized it doesn't seem to add up here. I don't think we're helping pets as much as, you know, they tell us we are. And it is hard, very hard to change your mindset and learn a whole new way of practicing medicine. But if it's in the best interest of your patients, like, how can you not? I mean, that's what I got up against. I mean, I struggled financially. I, you know, it was hard to make completely transform how I practice medicine. But once I really believed that that was best for my patients, I couldn't do it any other way. I just put up with the consequences. But I think a lot of people are not like that. Well, what if it's not standard of care and I lose my license? Or, you know, I mean, there's so much fear out there about why practitioners practice the way they do. And it's not about science and it's not really about medicine or true healing. It's just about fear and propaganda and propaganda that all comes from the pharmaceutical companies. It's really bad. It's so messed up, and it really truly is that messed up.
It is. Dr. Cooney said it's about at that 10-year mark. He said from 7 to 10 years is when these new vets start realizing that they're not going to conquer the world, right? Because you come out of vet school and you're like, wow, I'm armed. I'm gonna conquer the world. And he said, and that's really when it starts setting in. He goes, now for those of us that are really, really, you know, high achievers, he goes, yeah, I pushed on for another 10 more years. He said, it took me 20 years before he said, what the hell? You know, he knew. He just said, you know, before he finally had a health crisis of his own. Mm-hmm. And that set him on the path to say, you know, no more. But yeah, he definitely felt that financial crunch as well, changing the practice. Mm-hmm. But it sits with his soul now, right?
Yeah.
And I often wondered why there was such a high suicide rate in the veterinary medicine world. And so when you're out of alignment, which is what he said, that, you know, homeopathy is more being in line with your life force, right? So if you're doing things that are out of line with your life force, you're going to have disease. You're not going to be well. You're not going to want to be here on this earth, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, I was the same thing. Like, yeah, I struggled a lot. And it's interesting that time frame, because that was about how far I think I was in my career when I started thinking, yeah, this isn't right. I need to make some changes in how I practice things. But, you know, when you're living your truth, that to me, that still feels better. And like you said, when you're in alignment with your soul and with your beliefs and what you believe is really right and is really helping, then you keep plowing ahead because you just can't do it any other way. I mean, I couldn't, there was no going back once I learned. And I do that even today. And to me, there's no shame in that. Like I learned something new that I want to introduce to my patients that I wasn't doing before, or I learn about some new herb and introduce it. And, you know, well, I didn't know about it before. I never heard a certain, you know, way of managing cancer or something, you know, I don't see any shame in saying, you know what, I think I know a better way to do this. To me, that's learning. That's what we do. That's what they call practicing medicine. We learn and we grow and we learn new things that can benefit our patients. Then we should be doing that. But I think there's a lot of ego, probably a lot of ego in medical practitioners that keep them from saying, you know what, I was wrong. But I actually think people have a lot of respect for people that can say, you know what, I was wrong, but I was doing what I knew and how I was trained. And now I know something different and now I'm going to do that. And I think people have lots of respect for that. I to me, that's not a shameful thing to do that, because we're all learning. That's why we're here on Earth School, is to learn stuff. But I think the real shame and the real crime is when you don't learn, you just close yourself off and you just live in your little box. And like you were saying, you put your head in the sand and you just, I don't want any new information, because then I'm going to have to change how I think. And that might be uncomfortable. That's what's wrong. But being able to learn new things and debate things, you know, you can't even debate anymore, because you're either right or you're wrong, or you're on my side or you're not. You know, people don't want to have a healthy debate. And that's really too bad, because I think we could learn a lot from each other in doing that.
Yeah. And to your point, in this article that he wrote about bullying, how do you deal with vets that bully? In this article, he said, look, many conventional vets don't read anything outside of allopathic journals.
Right.
And then he says, so much of the conventional medicine is based on bias, bullying tactics, intimidation, where they use fear, uncertainty, and doubt to pressure clients into certain procedures and protocols. And that's one thing that I wanted to talk about today, is liver biopsies, because we see a lot of patients come through, a lot of pet parents come through who their dogs have elevated liver enzymes for a variety of reasons. And the next step always seems to be, well, let's do a liver biopsy. And the question really is, Dr. Jasek, why are we doing a liver biopsy? What is the point? What are we going to really gain from that? And what can we do instead? Right? Mm-hmm. What's your take on liver biopsies? Let me ask it this way first. Is there ever a reason to do a liver biopsy on a dog?
You know, I honestly can't think of cases where I would recommend that, especially as a first line. Like in, you know, conventional medicine, they just like to do all the testing up front and get all this information. But oftentimes the information doesn't change anything, doesn't change your treatment options. So when I look at diagnostics, I look at, well, how valuable is this information going to be? So, you know, say you have a dog that gets diagnosed with osteosarcoma, which is a bone tumor, you know, taking a chest x-ray to see if we have spread to the chest, that's probably a pretty good idea. Like, that would be good to know that we've got nodules in the chest, because that, you know, doesn't necessarily change our treatment strategy, but we know this is progressing in the body. That's good information. But with some, you know, elevated liver enzymes, so what typically happens is we have elevated liver enzymes and they'll want to do a biopsy. Well, you know, what is that going to tell us? In the liver is a dynamic organ. It detoxifies, it filters the blood. It's always doing things. And sometimes I honestly believe now, after working with lots of cases with elevated liver enzymes, that it can just be a sign of the liver doing its job. You know, it's processing something. Dogs are exposed to so many things, you know, even just outside this time of year. Boy, be really careful, people, because there are all the weed sprays coming out now, you know, because heaven forbid we have a weed growing in a crack in the sidewalk or something, or in the driveway. So people are spraying like crazy. I'm seeing it in my neighborhood. The yellow flags are going up. You think if your dog doesn't go out, it goes out and sniffs in some glyphosate, some Roundup, or some other form of weed killer, its liver enzymes aren't going to go up? You bet they are, because the liver's working to detoxify the body. So I think we have to, you know, really think about what is the liver doing in the body. And, you know, I have seen Frenchies are sort of, French bulldogs are sort of notorious for elevated liver enzymes. I've had several cases of dogs with ALTs in the thousands, like 2,000 and 3,000. And the dogs are acting perfectly fine. And we can use things like Chinese herbs. So we look at that and say, well, maybe the liver just needs a little bit of help. Instead of poking holes in it, which you're inflaming the organ even more, or putting the animal on anti-inflammatories, which are also toxic to the liver, like, let's not keep using pharmaceuticals. Let's do some things to help the liver detox. Like, you know, there's herbs, detoxifying herbs like dandelion, milk thistle. I'm drawing a blank there. Dandelion, milk thistle. There's some turmeric, great herbs to help the body detox and support the liver. And then I have Chinese herbal blends that I use that have even more specific action in the liver. And I just don't think that doing a liver biopsy, when you see a little bump in these enzymes, I don't think it's going to tell you anything that's going to change your treatment options. And if anybody is faced with this, their dog has some elevated liver values and that's being recommended, I would ask that question, like, how is that going to change treatment options? Because if your dog had, say, liver cancer, because this might be something they say, well, to make sure it's not cancer or something, you're going to see a growth. I mean, a good ultrasonographer, you know, doing just an ultrasound, which doesn't require sedation or anything, it's a few $100s, not a few $1,000s to do that test. A good ultrasonographer would be able to tell if the liver tissue is normal. Maybe it's a little inflamed, but they can also differentiate between inflammation and suspected, you know, cancer, look for actual masses, blockages in the bile ducts. I mean, you can get so much information from an ultrasound. If you had an ultrasound done by a board certified radiologist, and I do think that's important because a lot of clinics will go buy ultrasound machines and they just don't have that training. You know, it's just one of those things that if I'm going to rely on the results of an ultrasound, I want it done by a board certified radiologist, because that's all they do is they look at films, and their level of expertise is so much higher. I can't even interpret. I mean, I can kind of tell some stuff. I can't interpret ultrasounds to the level that a radiologist can, but they can tell these subtle differences. And I think you can get enough information from your blood work and ultrasound and how the pet's acting. So the liver is a vital organ. If there's serious dysfunction in that liver, your pet's going to act sick in some way, either low energy, losing appetite, vomiting, diarrhea, something's going to be showing up. So you have elevated liver enzymes in a pet that's acting perfectly normal. There's no serious liver disease. There can't possibly be.
Well, and to your point about cancer, it's my understanding that the GGT, if they have huge elevations, then that might indicate cancer. I don't see the GGT on these blood tests a lot of the time. Are they there and I'm just not seeing them?
I don't think they're run on every panel. The blood panels are a little different. So I don't think it's always run on every panel.
So can a pet parent ask for a GGT run?
Sure. Oh, it can ask for a panel because there's different, you know, like there's a Chem 11 and a Chem 21 and a Chem 25 and a Chem 27. You know, they all run different values. So if you wanted a specific value checked, then yeah, ask. Say, would you run a panel that, you know, also contains a GGT? I don't think it's commonly run in the smaller panels.
All right. But if we have a dog who's, let's say, ALT, AST, ALP, they're all going up every time that the dog, you know, goes in and gets a panel run. Now, the question I have is what else is going into the dog's body, right? That's your question that you would ask me. Well, what else is going into this dog's body? Do we have flea and tick? Do we have heartworm? Do we have antibiotics? This one particular dog that we were looking at, they had these high liver enzymes, and the protocol was to put them on antibiotics. And I asked the pet parent, why did we do antibiotics just because of elevated liver enzymes. Did they actually find a bacterial infection? And the answer was no. So am I crazy? Why would you do antibiotics for that?
It's because, yeah, there is no good reason to do it. And I'm going to look back at these labs you sent me to see if the white blood cell count was elevated. But yeah, I agree completely. Like, I would not start antibiotics unless there's direct evidence of a bacterial infection. And oftentimes they're not. And this is a very common practice, is that pets are just put on antibiotics just because. It's like, we don't know what's going on. So I don't know. Let's just put them on antibiotics for 10 days and see what happens. See if something sticks.
But is the thinking, well, I don't know where this bacteria infection is coming from. Maybe I've missed it. Can they actually miss it? I don't even get that.
Confused. I think, first of all, I think if there was a significant bacterial infection, again, the pet would be acting sick. Possibly running a fever. The other thing is, and so I'm looking at the CBC results, and if the white blood cell count is not elevated, then it's not very likely that there's an infection. There's very little chance that there's a bacterial infection, because when the body is fighting a bacterial infection, which it's going to be doing, if there is some bacteria growing that's abnormal, the body is going to be fighting it. Well, how does the body fight that? It increases the white blood cells. So that's one thing you can definitely look at and see. And so if you don't have a temperature, you don't have an elevated white blood cell count, and the pet's acting fine, and we see elevated liver enzymes, then in my opinion, there is no sign of a bacterial infection.
So exactly. And the thing about it is, if I was a pet parent, right, what would I be thinking? Would I be thinking, oh my gosh, my dog's just all of a sudden going to wake up one day and his kidney's going to fail? You would see symptoms prior to that. They're not likely just going to fall dead on the floor.
Oh yeah. Right. Absolutely. It's not a bad idea, to be checking blood work periodically,
but right.
I just think we have to be careful about how we're interpreting things, because like you were just saying, say a pet's getting older and maybe their kidneys are not functioning 100% like they used to. Well, if you pick that up early, because you're right, you're not going to see external signs of that necessarily, but then there's things we could do to help support those organs. Like you could support the kidneys, and like we were saying, you can support the liver, help it to do its job better. Conventional medicine, though, they don't have those tools. They don't use herbs. They don't know anything about nutrition except feeding prescription diets. What are their treatment options? Antibiotics. And so this philosophy of, well, I got to send them out the door with something, them meaning the client, veterinarians think that people don't walk out the door with a prescription bottle, that they've not done their job. And so we got to send them out the door with something. Well, I don't know, maybe just try some antibiotics, let's see if that works. And then maybe the dog will get better. And I think dogs in most cases get better in spite of the antibiotics, not because of them. Or they do anti-inflammatories, things like prednisone, which super inflames the liver. I mean, you start putting dogs on steroids, and that not only suppress the immune system, so it doesn't even make sense. So if they're thinking bacterial infection and they put the dog on antibiotics, and then they're going to put them on steroids, which are going to suppress the immune system and make it even harder for the dog to fight this supposed infection, and we're going to drive up the liver enzymes and inflame the liver even more, because that's what happens when dogs are on steroids and the body has to process them. So the treatment plans make no sense, but it's all they have. So they don't know what to do. So what should we do? Oh, let's do more tests. Let's do a liver biopsy for $3,000 or something. That's what I've heard that they're costing these days. It's a major procedure to put your pet through, requires general anesthesia, and likely is not going to provide any useful information. And on the more holistic side, we can do herbs. You know, you were just talking to Dr. Cooney, homeopathy can help with all sorts of things. It can help tremendously with detoxification, just changing the nutrition, for goodness sakes. You know, I mean, just get the dog on a fresh food diet, you know, for those that are, you know, still eating kibble or have been talked into these prescription diets, even that can make a huge difference. So part of it, I think why they prescribe these things, they don't have any other options and they want to send the people out of the door with a bottle of something. So they, let's try some antibiotics, doesn't kill too many pets. So let's just try that. And, you know, sadly, that's a lot of the thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I was looking at Dr. Patricia Jordan's information about what to feed a dog with high liver enzymes. What do you think? You don't feed them kibble. You feed them a fresh, whole food, raw meat-based diet without, what are we going to take? No synthetic chemicals added. No synthetics, no preservatives. Because you want to have these type of diets that also have liver in it. So that supports your dog's own organ. And I promise you, prescription diets, kibble does not have that, which will support your dog's liver. I mean, dandelions, we're getting ready to have a buttload of dandelions. Now, if you don't have any sprays, you know, my thing about this spray thing, Dr. Jasek, is this. So I live up here in the mountains. And as you know, I have chased down the spray guy. And I've had a fight with him for the last couple of years about why are you spraying just the edge of the pavement? Makes no sense, right? Okay. So all of that stuff is going to run off into my, even though I don't spray, all of that's going to run off from the snow and everything else into my property.
Yeah, so exactly.
I don't think that I could go out there and pick my own dandelions, the yellow ones, and put them in my dog's food. I wouldn't trust that now.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing about it is that I didn't even know, had I not seen him do that 2 years ago. And last year they had my name on the list not to spray that crazy lady, you know, and when they knew, but it doesn't matter because they're spraying everybody that's uphill from me.
Yeah, totally. Totally. It even gets in the rain. You know, they spray so much that it actually can be in the rain. So it's pretty hard to get away from it. So when we talk about why do dogs have elevated liver enzymes? Well, I think stuff like that can be a really big reason for it.
Yeah. And it's just nuts. But in this article, she's talking about, you know, how do you treat elevated liver enzymes? And it's a lot of what you're saying. Detoxify the daggum liver, right? You could do the, you know, one antioxidant that is great for us and is great for the dogs is glutathione, which the amino acids in acetylcysteine, NAC, right? So we've heard a lot about that. But that is a great one. Milk thistle, we've got the liver detox. So, you know, because milk thistle can be kind of harsh, don't you think? If you just do milk thistle by itself, so if you don't do it right and you just do it by itself, do you think milk thistle's hard on dogs?
Well, I mean, I like a combination because I like to combine, you know, the effects of different plants. So I think there's benefit in doing the combination because you get a little effect. And then, I mean, if you do a lot of one thing, I mean, even dandelion, you know, too much dandelion give dogs diarrhea, you know, you do too much of any one thing. Mm-hmm. Everything you give, the body has to process it. So you can give too many natural things too. So the combination of plants that tend to work together synergistically, like they help the liver in different ways. So the liver gets more help without overdoing one thing. That's the way I like to go.
Yeah. I like that too. I like that too. But some of the things that can cause your dog's liver enzymes to go up is kibble food. Okay. Kibble food. That is one because it has so much crap in it. Medications, okay, phenobarbital for seizures, heartworm, anti-inflammatory drugs that you were just talking about, vaccine adjuvants. People don't like to hear this, you know, but you guys, come on, there's so much stuff in the vaccines that these mm-hmm. dogs are getting, that humans are getting, aluminum hydroxide. I was just looking at the list of stuff, and what these things can also cause is just crazy. But a lot of people don't want to look at what's in the vaccines, but I would encourage you to do that. You know, is that, you know, something that you want to put in your dog? And yeah. and maybe you look at that and think, well, that's doing its job. Is it? What job? What job are we trying to accomplish?
Yeah. And are the vaccines even effective in the first place? You know, I don't think that, again, there's this comfort in, you know, doing things as they've always been done. And people think, well, I give a lepto vaccine to my dog. I never have to worry about my dog getting lepto. Well, you really don't know that. You don't know how protective that vaccine is. And it's a vaccine with a huge, huge, huge reaction rate. So if you don't know that it's going to be effective, and you know that there's a really big chance that it's going to inflame your dog's body and cause some, you know, chronic illness condition, then yeah, why would you give it?
Because you're being bullied. Because you're
stop doing what you're told. Get over it.
I know. You got to take a step back. I really do feel that some of the best advice is really when you take your dog in and you're worried and you don't know because you haven't done all this research, mm-hmm. you don't have to act right then. Okay. If your dog's not on death's door, and I really mean that when I say that, it's still acting fine. It's still looking mm-hmm. fine. You got to back up. Get the information, say thank you very much, and don't do anything right then. Yeah,
Get another opinion.
Exactly. Something. Exactly. Another opinion, like from Dr. Judy Jasek, right? Or Todd Cooney, or any of these people that have been on the other side, right? And they've stopped doing the harsh chemicals and they're seeing great results. You can't argue with great results, Dr. Jasek.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some people do, but that's what I say is you can't argue with success, you know.
Right. You can't, but there's that fear. And I really do believe when you are totally confused, you don't know what to do, you want someone to tell you what to do, you're in danger in that situation. You're in danger and maybe you're putting your pet in danger because you're not thinking clearly. You don't have all the facts. You don't have other options and you've got to look at all the options. So I really do believe when you come to that fork in the road, that crossroads, what do I do? What do I do? And it's, you know, don't do anything. Back up.
Yeah. That's the last time time where you want to be making a really critical decision about your pet's health is when you're feeling confused and overwhelmed. If nothing else, just go for a walk, clear your head, you know, take a little break from thinking about it. And so that you can at least make a clear decision or, you know, and do some research, get another opinion.
Yeah. Get it. If you don't get another opinion, in my opinion, if you don't get another opinion, there's something in your belief system that likes that diagnosis and that treatment plan that you have. Do you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People, because oftentimes, yeah, people want to hear a certain answer. Just like some people just will never get on board with feeding raw. They're just not going to do it. And it doesn't matter what you do or what you tell them or what's going on with their pet, there's always going to be a reason why the raw is wrong for their pet. So if there's an answer, if they kind of some part of them, like you're saying, likes what they heard and they want to do what this first vet said, then yeah, they're probably going to find more of that same opinion.
Well, I got an email and this was already a customer that was having a difficult time moving over to pure raw versus cooking their dog's food. And so there were a lot of reasons why. And the last reason that was sort of the nail in the coffin for her was that she was taking her dog to her daughter's, I guess she was going to travel or whatever the situation was, but the daughter had a special needs child and said, we can't feed raw around a special needs child because they will get sick. And, you know, so the question or the statement that came back from, you know, the customer service and our team was, give us that documentation. Where right. is that documentation or that research that actually can withstand scrutiny? Because we don't see it.
Right.
We don't see it. It's not there. But, you know, if that's what it takes to get you to say, see, I can't do it, then you're going to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get any information back. I would have liked to have seen it. I see it. I see it on the, you know, buyer, you know, beware stuff in the vet's office, but there's no real evidence that comes back on that. Who has developed E. coli or salmonella from raw dog food? And if you have, then I'm going to have to say, were you playing in it? Were you eating it? Were you?
Right.
What were you doing with it? And I don't even know if you could do it that way, Dr. Jasek. I mean, I don't know what it would take. Do you?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any way unless you let it, you know, sit out for 3 days and it was truly spoiled or something. But, you know, you wouldn't do that if you do, you know, just common sense, safe handling. And for dogs, I mean, you know, they can go out there. Dogs are natural scavengers. They can go out and eat roadkill and be fine if they have a healthy digestive tract. They don't need to have a sterile food in order to keep them healthy. And the fact that this whole premise that dogs, that first of all, that raw has all this awful bacteria, because if it did, then all dogs eating raw would be dropping over dead. And we certainly don't see that happening. And then this whole premise that, like, oh, well, now because the dog's eating this food, it can transmit these horrible bacteria to other people in the household. You know, it just isn't true. There's probably more danger, you know, from dogs like licking their butts and, you know, then you being around that, because I can guarantee you there's a lot of bacteria back there. There's and dogs more, do that.
Come on, Dr. JC, there's more bacteria on your toothbrush if it's near your toilet. Somebody take a sample of that. Right? I mean, come on. You know, our neighbor's got a new Weimaraner puppy. And this puppy, you know, is running around having a great time eating elk poop, eating deer poop. I mean, they're like, don't eat that, but they do. They eat that stuff. And
that's what puppies do. Maybe that's how it's building up its microbiome,
right?
All those bacteria from all those different species, you know?
Right. Right. And then they're, puppies, you know, licking their face, and I don't see anybody dropping over dead. So I think that this is a concept, again, not backed up by real test science, because God knows science is, I don't even know what science is anymore, Dr. Jasek. Right now it's not being, well, you know what? Science is being done. Real science is being done. However, I don't think that the results from that type of science is being revealed. Yeah, you were talking right. about in the book, The Real Anthony Fauci, where we were talking before the podcast. There's been a lot of science that's been going on for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
In not so good ways, right? So, right. Science right. is going
there's,
on.
There's but. Plenty of science going on. It's just that the narrative is so controlled that what they tell you is science on the evening news is not science. It's propaganda. Yeah.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they're doing, and they know exactly what they want us to hear. And this spills over into the veterinary profession too, because they're all the same big pharmaceutical companies and vaccine companies that are running the show. And they control the propaganda. It's a big propaganda machine based on making money with no real science behind it. The real science is out there. I think, like you said,
there's people doing real science, but you're not going to hear about it. You're only going to hear what they want you to hear. That is going to turn a profit for the big pharma companies.
I don't know if you've seen it. Very frightening. I'm hoping it's just propaganda. Shanghai, have you seen that? What's going on in Shanghai?
No, I've heard about it. I didn't see any. Was that with the lockdowns or something?
Yes, but they're rounding up their pets and killing them.
Oh, are they? No, I didn't see that.
They're rounding up their pets. They're throwing all of these cats. They have a lot of cats over there. Throwing cats and dogs in these bags, and they're killing them.
Oh, geez. No, I didn't hear about that.
And, you know, I was listening to a podcast they were saying there's a lot of things that make Americans mad. But when you start messing with their pets, that's when the real fight is going to start. And I thought, well, something's got to make them, you know, start this, defend themselves. But yeah, I can't imagine. Can you imagine, Dr. Jasek? Somebody comes in, they lock you down, and then they go house to house and start getting your pets. And then what I understand is that they were putting him in these bags and then beating them to death. That was one way. Geez. Can you imagine? I just don't think I could contain myself.
I think I would, they'd have to kill me. I think they'd have to kill me.
You'd be like shooting needles. You need to get one of those blow darts. You need to get a blow dart, Dr. Jasek, with tranquilizers. Somebody comes.
Oh, yeah, right. Dart gun. Well,
yeah, dart gun. And then we'll put them in a bag. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we will do.
Give them what they've been handing out to the poor animals. I mean, for God's sake, at least, you know, I mean, it's horrific to be killing pets, but, you know, couldn't you just put a bullet in their head? At least it'd be quick.
Right.
To death.
Oh, dude. Gosh. It's just horrifying.
I would lose it. Yeah.
You hear these people screaming, and a drone is flying over the city. And the drone, they've had it interpreted. It says, resist your soul desire for freedom.
Oh, geez.
Okay. That's frightening. That's like a creepy movie. Okay. It's just frightening.
Totally.
I hope it's propaganda. I hope it is, but I don't know that it is.
I think there's probably lots of scary stuff going on in the world that we wish weren't, but is.
I know. All right, everybody. Don't be afraid when you take your dog to the vet, but be cautious. Get a second opinion. Okay. Get a second opinion. Go over to ahavet.com. What if you didn't have to put your dog through a liver biopsy? What if you found out that antibiotics or prednisone or any kind of suppressant didn't help your dog, that it was hurting your dog? Wouldn't you want to have this information before you proceeded? I think you would, because those of you that are listening, you are health conscious pet parents. You can get that second opinion. You can do it via Zoom. You can set up a consultation where Dr. Jasek can review blood work, can review your foods, your treats, your medications, your supplements. Get an opinion from Dr. Judy Jasek at ahavet.com. Get your dogs on a species appropriate diet. You want to protect their liver? You got to get them on a whole fresh food diet without chemicals, without synthetics. That's what we have right here at Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.